One. Hi, everyone. This is Greg White. I'm a partner here at Sway Ventures, and we're a U.S.-based venture capital firm investing in early to mid-stage technology companies. Our charter is to invest in high-performing teams that are building what we consider revolutionary technology, you know, and or creating really the next enterprise or consumer categories. And so regarding our efforts with founders and leadership teams, where we spend a lot of time in this thing we call value add, we concentrate across four distinct areas. The first being capital syndication, second, revenue generation, third is talent acquisition, and fourth is product and product strategy. I'm joined today by Debbie Rossler and Reynolds Morgan of Berkland Associates. Debbie is a CFO consultant at the firm, and Reynolds is the director of venture capital and ecosystems. The background on Berkland is that they give startups smart finance, accounting, tax advice, and stages from seed to series C generally. And this is what they call on-demand CFOs, accountants, and tax experts. So Debbie and Ren, hey, it's great to have you two today. Thanks again for the time. Tell us a little bit about your backgrounds.
Thank you very much, Greg. Very pleased to be here. Again, my name is Reynolds. I help lead Berkland's venture capital and ecosystem practice here on the West Coast. I'm formerly a journalist early in my career and then transferred into business development and have spent pretty much the majority of my career working here in Silicon Valley with venture-backed companies of all sizes.
Great. And thanks, Greg. And this is Debbie Rossler again. I've been working as a CFO consultant with Berkland for about 5 years now, and I'm currently supporting five startups on a part-time as-needed basis. Most of my clients are Series A stage SaaS companies, although as a firm, we work across a variety of industries. I help companies with their full range of finance support needs, ranging from helping them evaluate business models and build long-range plans to raising capital, supporting international expansion, participating in board meetings, essentially the full range of what you would normally expect from a CFO, but just provided as needed. Prior to Berkland, I worked in finance and strategy at companies across a range of industries and stages, and I started my career with stints in investment banking and private equity.
Yeah, hey, thank you for that. You know, it's in some of our conversations leading up to this, it was interesting to chat with the two of you, and you know, in that it seems like the efficient use of capital really has never been more important, and for startups more and more, and leveraging variable cost structures and let's call it fractional usage strategies for roles in finance and accounting, tax prep, and so on. And I think many startups do this today, and many startups do this at various stages in their funding cycles. But with that said, you know, in the finance function in particular, what are you all seeing? Maybe Debbie, this question is specific for you, but what are you seeing as regards to the timing in which a series seed company or even a C stage firm, and when they're making full-time hires for roles like controllers, directors of finance, and CFOs?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, you know, as you stated, Greg, you know, we're definitely big proponents of bringing in high quality part-time support on an as needed basis for companies at an earlier stage. So companies are able to pay for they go as for only the work that they need, which is much more cost effective than bringing in full-time support at the early stages when really the workload isn't all that limited. As you said before, most of our clients are between the seed and Series C stage of funding, and that's generally the time frame when it makes the most sense to work with an outsourced finance and accounting team. What we generally see is a phased approach to hiring outsourced part-time support and then eventually transitioning into full-time and in-house support. And this does vary between companies and different industries have sort of different approaches, but sort of a typical progression would be what you'd see is that at the seed stage, companies would look to bring in outsourced bookkeeping and tax support. That's the stage where, you know, really they have relatively light touch limited needs, but you want to make sure that you get the accounting foundation set correctly from the beginning. And then just before you get into raising a Series A round, that's around the time that you might be looking into bring in part-time CFO support to help with your long-range plans and evaluating your business model. As you get towards more, after raising the A and you get towards late Series A and closer to a Series B, companies are getting closer to an audit And around that time, you might want to bring in a part-time controller to support. You've been doing accounting pretty GAAP compliant, but you need to sort of get it over the hump to get it audit ready. It's possible prior to that time frame, you may have brought in a controller sort of on a project basis for some specific systems implementations needs, or maybe to make sure your rev rec is appropriate, but it's not necessarily ongoing part-time support. Maybe it's as needed project basis. In the same time frame around the Series B time frame, it's possible the company may want to actually start looking at bringing in some internal accounting support. Often it's at a real sort of basic level. You might start working with an office manager who can start supporting some basic accounting functions such as invoicing, collections, and vendor accounts payable. But it's good to have that person in-house, on-site, on an ongoing basis. And then sort of going forward, by the time a company raises a Series C, at that point, you might be looking to have a full-time controller in-house. You may be bringing some or all of your bookkeeping and accounting in-house at that time frame as well. And then certainly by the time you get to a Series D, by that point, you would have hired an in-house CFO. And probably around that time frame, you'd also be looking to hire a manager to support financial planning and analysis as well.
Yeah, I mean that's helpful, and it's logical. It makes sense, and it's the proper use of your cash as a startup. You answered some of this in the question that you just that you responded to, but there's a little bit of a deeper dive here I'd like to kind of drill into, and it really relates to financial hygiene and best practices for early stage startups and how that has shifted over time. But what suggestions would you make as firms prep themselves for their next round of funding and or M&A or even exit strategies? And I'm talking about this kind of shift to doing that much earlier in their life cycles. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, so I would say that we're recommending that startups really should be looking to up their game with respect to finance overall, specifically financial planning and analysis. In the current environment, investors and inquirers really want to ensure that startups have a good handle on their cash burn, and they need to be looking to employ many of the finance and financial planning and analysis activities at an earlier stage than they have in the past. In addition, a lot of times in the past, it used to be a little bit more loose for companies in terms of, up through the Series A or Series B stage in terms of their accounting practices. And what we're seeing now is there's definitely more of a focus on getting it right from the start. And frankly, it makes the most sense from an economic perspective as well, because I can't tell you how many times I've gone into new clients where the accounting is a mess, and the amount of money that companies need to spend to clean up accounting after the fact versus getting it right from the first time. It's just so much higher to do the cleanup. In terms of financial modeling, what we're seeing is, whereas in the past, there were stage companies that didn't even have a financial model. What we're seeing now is that investors, in the current environment are requesting that not only do you have to build a financial model, but you have to have multiple versions of that model because so many companies are doing scenario planning exercises. So you might have three versions of a model. And now that they're completing the scenario plans, companies need to understand this is not a one and done exercise. So companies need to continually be updating their forecasts and monitoring performance and their trigger points to determine if they need to be shifting to between different scenarios. So it's really sort of upping the game from the standpoint of the earliest stage companies that didn't even do financial modeling in the past. Now they have three versions of model and they're updating forecasts regularly. There's also a desire to see really sound financial reporting. So a desire for more transparency and reporting depth from the board at an earlier stage to better facilitate board oversight and facilitating effective decision-making. So overall, I would say, what I'm seeing overall is a lot of the work that used to be done later is being pulled forward earlier and being done overall at a more robust level than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, we're seeing and advising the same thing. You have to be better sooner. And I think you've articulated that really well. So this other item, I'll just maybe end with one question, and it has to do with the CARES Act, the Paycheck Protection Program. And so, if you're a firm that's participated in that and perhaps been awarded an SBA loan, and especially given the signing into law last week of the Flexibility Act portion of that legislation, which affords much more flexibility in the way to use those PPP funds. What should companies be doing right now relative to the loan forgiveness piece of that law, compliance of same, transparency, accountability, checks and balances, and so on, as they ready themselves to work through the usage of those funds?
Yeah. So, Greg, as you stated, I mean, it's great news that the PPP Flexibility Act passed last week. It extends the time period where companies can use the funds from 8 to 24 weeks. What I'm seeing is that's really going to help ensure that many startups will be able to have, you know, most, if not even all, of their loans qualify for forgiveness. Where we're at right now is we're still waiting for some guidance from the SBA to enact some specific regulations associated with the Flexibility Act, and there'll be some details, you know, about how that impacts the exact forgiveness process. And ultimately, the actually doing the forgiveness will be done with the bank that you got the loan from. And, you know, what we're starting to see is, I know several of my clients bank with SVB. They just sent out an email this week saying that they're working through how the exact loan forgiveness process is going to work. They're not going to start accepting loan forgiveness applications until likely mid-July. So even if you've, you know, past your 8-week mark, used up all your funds, you're going to have to wait till your bank is ready to actually start accepting forgiveness applications. In the meantime, what all companies should be doing is making sure that they're maintaining a really solid paper trail of all the money that's going to be qualifying for loan forgiveness. So save detailed records of your payroll statements, your rent and utility payments, everything that goes into the forgiveness bucket. And then what we're recommending is that all companies should have an expense tracking sheet. You can just do it in Excel, but basically that reflects all of the expenses by date that qualify for forgiveness, and then basically references the supporting documents that go with it. There are some companies that did go to the effort of actually creating a separate bank account from which they're deducting money as they spend it. That's, you know, certainly a good approach from a hygiene perspective. I'm not sure that it's necessary, but it actually, you know, it does provide a more distinct ring fence of your funds. So that is an option that companies can consider. And so those are some of the things that you should be looking at. But at this point, you know, maintain your tracking, and then we need to be waiting for the additional guidance from the Treasury and as well as from your bank.
Yep, great feedback. And we've been providing some kind of pithy details and summaries on this as we go, and we'll continue to do that. But that's great feedback, Debbie. So look, thanks again for the time today, Debbie and Wren. Really helpful, timely information. You know, if our founders and exec teams want to get in touch with you about any of the details you've covered today, what's the best way to do that?
Thank you very much. This is absolutely wonderful, Greg. Best way is for folks to probably ping me first. I'll give you my mobile number. This is Reynolds Morgan. Mobile is 650-862-0706. And my email is pretty simple. It's rmorgan@berklandassociates.com. Thank you.
You got it. And again, thanks you too. And we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, folks. This was great. Thank you, Greg.